to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, third and final hour, here we come. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards here with you. It seems as though I was just going through this top of the hour spiel not 5 minutes ago. That's how quickly the hour with Richard Spencer flew by. We'll talk about that more in just a second. But anyway, welcome back to the show. As always, we are with you from the studios of AM 1380. WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. At either of those websites, you will find our live internet stream during our weekly broadcast hours and our broadcast archives on the Political Cesspool site dating back to 2005. Can you believe? It's been that long. We have had a robust program for you thus far. During the first hour, Keith Alexander the Great was on to discuss a myriad of topics, including how the modern-day private sector unions have a correlation with the so-called civil rights movement. Keith also went on to discuss no-fault divorce and its ramifications. During the second hour, the hour we're just coming out of, Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com and the National Policy Institute was on to talk about his new project, National Policy Institute Television, NPITV.com. I had a great interview with Richard earlier this week, and if you have not yet seen it, check it out at NPITV.com or thepoliticalcesspool.org. Leave a comment. We appreciate your feedback. As always, listen, I tell you, if you have seen that video interview, as good as it was, I think Richard was even sharper tonight. Just an exquisite guest, and very much appreciated his contributions to the show this evening. Richard Spencer, again, check him out at his websites, alternativeright.com and NPITV.com. Got a lot to do tonight during the third hour. I want to ask everyone if they're listening, and I know a lot of people in the chat room. Oh, by the way, since we're on announcements right now, if you're not yet in the Political Cesspool Virtual Fan Party, we encourage you to join us right now. There's still a little bit of time left in tonight's show, so come on over to our partner, the Council of Conservative Citizens, and their website, cfcc.org. I'm giving you a lot of websites tonight. Your brain's probably having a hard time processing so many URLs, but cfcc.org. And got a good group in there right now that's interacting with me live, and you can be one of them. So join the chat. And I was just telling people in the chat during the last commercial break to keep our co-host, our brother, Winston Smith, in your prayers. I'm not divulging any information that Winston did not ask me to do. I'm not divulging information without his permission, but Winston is ill this evening. He was originally scheduled to be on the program with me tonight during the third hour, but he is suffering from some poor circulation, and they fear that they may have to amputate his big toe. The antibiotics are not taking effect as the doctors would like, and he asked me to relay that information to you. And when it comes down to amputations, you might think of a toe not being a worst-case scenario, but it is a very serious threat nevertheless, and we're hoping that Winston will be able to, find a way to circumvent that procedure. But as it looks right now, odds are that they may have to amputate his big toe, and if they do, he'll have to, they say, learn how to walk all over again, and we certainly don't want that to happen. So on behalf of Winston Smith, I'm asking for all of our friends in the Political Cesspool family of listeners to pray for him, and send him an email if you can. If you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and go to the contact page, there you'll find the email addresses for each of our co-hosts. And you will find Winston's there as well. Drop him a line. I know he would greatly appreciate hearing from from those of you who appreciate his contributions to this show during this his time of need. So, again, Winston Smith, not with us tonight, and that's the reason. And we ask that you send him a note and let him know that you're thinking about him. That being said, and I know it's hard to get back on topic when you're talking about something serious like that, but I guess we still do have a show to get through. I'm going to ask people to consider calling in this third hour since Winston is not here and since he was a late scratch due to those health complications this evening. We're going to open up the phones or attempt to open them up anyway. If you want to call in with a question or comment about anything we've discussed tonight or just a topic you would like to have discussed on the political cesspool before the sand falls from the hourglass this evening, give us a call, 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS. That is our call-in number. I got a quick story here before break. Put it up on the political cesspool site, I think, last week. Like I said, it's just been so busy for us over the course of the last 7 to 10 days. We haven't really been able to cover a lot of the news that we've been posting to our own website. But the L.A. Clippers, they kind of got it backwards. They are celebrating Black History Month in March by giving free tickets to the first 1,000, quote-unquote, underprivileged children who show up. Now, of course, there's no mention of how they're going to determine which kids are underprivileged, which obviously means that the first 1,000 Black kids who show up are going to get all the free tickets. And I just hope that this doesn't cause a riot, this Black History Month in March celebration that the Clippers are doing. And as soon as an NBA team announces that they're offering free tickets to the first 1,000 white kids, I'd like for someone to email me so we can make mention of that as well, you know, in this public service announcement that we're doing here on the cesspool, promoting these giveaways and all. I have a feeling, though, I might be waiting a pretty long time on that email to come through the system. Another thing, speaking of Winston, just to get back to him for a moment, before he suffered this malady, he wrote a pretty good article, about Shirley Sherrod is suing. He asks you to imagine the possibilities. Now, that's a couple of days, actually a couple of weeks old now, but if you can find it on the Political Cesspool blog, and you can if you just go back to a couple of pages of entries prior, very good article there by Winston. We encourage you to check that out, too. Of course, you could just Google Winston Smith, Political Cesspool, Shirley Sherrod, and read it for yourself. But this was something, again, getting back to the busyness that has been circling us here in the Political Cesspool. We have been wanting to cover this story on the air for the last 3 weeks and have not been able to work it in. And then, of course, we're not able to work it in tonight because of Winston's health problems. So, anyway, check it out. Send him an email. Keep him in your prayers. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Got a handful of articles here that have been building up in the queue for the last couple of weeks. We're going to try to get through at least one or two of them before the end of the program, but I did make mention of the fact that we're going to take a couple of calls as well, and we're going to do so right now. Jeff from Massachusetts, I believe. Jeff, you're on the Political Cesspool.
Oh, yes, James. I thank you very much for having me on the program. Now, James, before I get into my comment, remember it was a corn chips commercial, and basically it was the astronaut cornered by the alien, and he kept on feeding the alien corn chips, and when he ran out of corn chips, the alien bit his head off. Well, here's my take on this. What is happening in America is, and this has a little bit to do with the Japanese earthquake, because because you see, I could be wrong, but right now you don't see race riots happening in Japan. In America, if this country ever had a terrorist attack in a major city or several major cities, you know what? The illegal aliens, I call them invaders. Screw that. We're being invaded by foreign militaries from all around the world, and they're dumping their leftovers in this country. They're dumping their criminals in this country. I mean, this had nothing to do with race. I mean, that's just the simple truth. And when the money runs out, the minorities in the big cities who have been dependent on political programs for decades, when that rug gets pulled out and when they'll get a welfare check, you are going to see stuff that they'll make the Watts riot look pale in comparison. You will have insurrection in this country. And you know what? And that's what you're dealing with. And you're going to have civil war between the North and between the South all over again. Because guess what? These dredges of society are attracted to the liberal dollars that are situated in the Northeast and all these big cities. I mean, this is economics, my friend.
Yeah, Jeff, listen, I want to thank you for the call and the comment. You bring up an excellent point, my friend, and I want to elaborate on it now. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
He mentioned what's going on in Japan. Now, just to go to show you how busy it's been, just how busy it's been in the political cesspool, I almost forgot that there was a small problem in Japan. Japan has been ravaged, unfortunately. Earthquakes, tsunamis, nuclear meltdowns, and everything in between. But the one thing that they have not been hit with is rampant lawlessness by their population. And the reason that is of course, because they are a first world society. Compare and contrast the way the Japanese are, for the most part, say, and of course you will always have some petty larceny and things of that nature when you have a catastrophe. But by and large, look at the way that the Japanese are self-policing themselves and compare that to what we saw in 2005 in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Looting, plundering, you know, rape in the Coliseum there in New Orleans. The cops were getting in on the act. I mean, it was just story after story. They tried to suppress that news, of course, but there was just still story after story after story coming out like that. And then Haiti, another example. Rampant lawlessness all over again, even to a much larger on a much larger scale than what we saw in New Orleans. Now, what's the difference between New Orleans and Haiti versus Japan? Well, that was a rhetorical question. It's not even going to get an answer from me. It's so obvious. But this is a good observation that Jeff made, and we appreciate his call. And probably that comment from Jeff and my brief elaboration is going to be the only time you hear that fact mentioned in any of the coverage that you're seeing coming out of Japan, and of course we wish them well in their rebuilding efforts. I think that Japan will rebound. And once again, for obvious reasons. Another thing I want to talk about. This is, we're going to bounce around a little bit this hour, and this is something we've commented on fairly often as well in the political cesspool. It looks like so-called conservatives are absolutely giving up the fight to curtail sodomite marriage, homosexual marriage, whatever you want to call it, just as I've been predicting they would for years now. Obama's announcement a couple of weeks ago that the administration won't defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court hardly caused any outrage among quote-unquote conservatives. You know, sure, Newt Gingrich said Obama might be impeached over it, but nobody gives any credit to the word that comes out of that lying sociopath's mouth. Mike Huckabee grumbled about it, and John Boehner acted as if he weren't crazy about it, but that was about it. Not much of a protest, really. Tony Perkins tried to raise awareness about it, but as we all know, since he's involved with the American Family Association, a Christian outfit, he's the head of an official hate group now, as designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center, so people are going to pay him very little attention anymore. And insiders are saying that one of the reasons Obama was sure he could get away with refusing to defend the law of the land in federal courts is that conservatives didn't seem to be terribly upset when he ordered the military to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell and start openly admitting gays, lesbians, transvestites, etc. He's right. You know, Obama has detected our weakness and our inability to stand up and speak out. We're too afraid we might be called a homophobe to defend, you know, God-ordained marriage. And so they're going to continue to run roughshod. And, of course, our so-called allies aren't doing us any favors either. I mean, Bill Clinton, the modern-day Republicans made Bill Clinton look like a right-wing reactionary on the issue of sodomite marriage. I mean, you got George Bush's daughter and Dick Cheney and all these other people, you know, coming out just outright in favor of this abomination. And this is, you know, this is what we're getting from the conservative, you know, establishment resistance. So it's just a joke. If you want real conservative commentary, you got to tune into shows like this. You got to support shows like this. People who are out there and are going to unequivocally advance your agenda on any given issue. Just, you know, don't look for frauds like Mike Huckabee to really get up there and do anything of substance, give you anything of substance. The rhetoric is being toned down in the Republican Party as the camel's nose in the tent, as Keith Alexander calls it, begins to push on through this. You know, this line in the sand is continually pushed backwards, and we're suffering all the time because we've bought into this phony two-party system, and we have bought into the crazy idea that the Republicans offer something different than the Democrats. They're both going to take you to the same place. One might get you there a little bit more slowly than the other, but at the end of the day, you are not going to see any victories won if you place your hope in the establishment machine. And unfortunately, as I went into some detail on in my NPI TV interview with Richard Spencer, you're not going to see, unfortunately, much difference of substance coming out of the Tea Parties either. That's just my 2 cents on the matter. We've got another commercial break coming up here shortly. I'd like to remind people to call in with your questions or comments here over the course of the last half hour of the show tonight, 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS. If you would like to be on the air with me live tonight, to say hello, to ask a quick question, make a comment. You don't have to get on here and pontificate. You can just come on and say, you know, like what you're doing or hate what you're doing. I've heard that a few times. It doesn't bother me. Call in. You'll feel good. You'll be glad that you did. I'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. All right, everybody. Another story I want to get into here very quickly here on the political cesspool this evening is a story that came out of Fort Worth, Texas, few days ago. I entitled it Hundreds of Diversities Protest the Death of a Drug Dealer Who Tried to Kill a Cop. And here's the scoop. A 32-year-old man was fatally shot by a Fort Worth police officer Monday night and had been under surveillance on suspicion of narcotics trafficking, police said. Police also said that Sherrall Ra-Ra Thomas tried to evade arrest by driving off with Officer Jay Roma's arm trapped in the window of his SUV. Thomas continued to accelerate while Romer tried to get his footing and free his arm, repeatedly yelling at Thomas to stop, police said. When Thomas, this is the drug dealer, wouldn't stop, Romer shot him several times. Three children in the back seat were not injured, authorities said. The incident sparked protests, if you can believe it, Tuesday in the Stop 6 neighborhood of Fort Worth, where participants called the shooting unjustified and said they will push for a federal investigation. I actually have pictures of this get-together on our website. You'll have to, again, scroll back a couple of days to find the article. But you've got all of these black residents of Fort Worth who are gathered together to protest the police. They're calling, saying they're going to call for a federal investigation. They'll probably win some sort of a judgment, I'm sure, because, you know, all this drug dealer did was try to drive off at a high speed with a police officer's arm caught in his window, and he refused to stop, so he got shot. I mean, imagine that. And somehow they find a way to take issue with this. Here comes a good one. Word has got to get out concerning what's happening in the black community, said the Reverend Randolph Shaheed, who helped organize the protests. Word has got to get out about what's happening in the black community. We're not trying to be radical as it relates to violence. We're out here trying to be radical as it relates to change. Change has got to come. Now, do you remember what I just said? Do you remember the story here? Drug dealer driving off with his window rolled up, a police officer's arm caught, the police officer's trying to run to keep up with the vehicle that's accelerating in speed, the drug dealer refuses to stop, and he gets shot. And to that, this so-called reverend says, change has got to come, word has got to get out concerning what's happening in the black community. At the undercover officer's request, the patrol officer, later identified as Romer, pulled over Thomas's black 2005 Ford Expedition and told Thomas that he was under arrest on warrants issued. The officer reported that a man was in the front passenger seat and that three children were in the back seat. The driver stated that he was not going to jail and locked the door. The report stated. The officer reached into the half-opened window and attempted to unlock the door to extract the driver. While reaching in the window, the driver rolled up the window, trapping the officer's arm, while simultaneously accelerating towards the freeway. Police said the officer, while trying to gain his footing and free his arm, yelled to the driver to stop multiple times, but Thomas kept accelerating. The officer was able to place his feet on the driver's side running board, unholster his service weapon, and order the driver to stop, the report stated. When the driver still refused, the officer shot the driver several times. The officer believed that at the speed they were now traveling, he would have been run over and killed if he did not immediately stop the driver, the report stated. This cop will probably lose his job. Do you think that's a crazy notion? I shouldn't say probably, but I will say it's not beyond the realm of possibility that this officer might endure some time off. You know, I mean, because anytime you get a black reverend, and I guess they get ordained out of a Cracker Jack box because they're all reverends. You know, somebody's got to pay. A head's got to roll once a black reverend gets involved and talks about change has got to come in the black community and, you know, police brutality and so on and so forth. That's a story out of Fort Worth. Probably not a story you're going to hear about outside of that local market, but you'll hear about it here on the Political Cesspool. Another story got one harsh law for whites and another mild law for non-whites. And let me tell you what this headline is all about. I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it until it sinks in. The term minority is nothing less than a title of nobility, like duke and earl and baroness are, which entitles the bearer to a higher legal status than us peons. Along with this higher status goes all kinds of privileges like preferences in hiring, college and social grad admissions, preferential and deferential treatment in punishing criminals so as to avoid offending the privileged classes and provoking them to riot in order to maintain their status. Now we find out that Seattle, Washington is openly telling its police officers that some laws should not be enforced against non-whites. You know, when I say stuff like this, I always back it up with facts and references from mainstream sources. And this also is backed with just such an affirmation from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, the local newspaper servicing Seattle. But let me just read that again. Seattle, the city of Seattle is openly telling its police officers that some laws should not be enforced against non-whites. A Seattle cop brought it to the world's attention on his blog, calling it socialism. But it's really not socialism. It's just hatred of white people. But that's a minor point. City Attorney Pete Holmes defends the city's so-called progressive policies. For example, driving with a suspended license is almost always charged when a person's license has been suspended for failure to pay a fine, Fox News reports. But Holmes, once again the city attorney for Seattle, Washington, says 44% of those prosecuted for the crime were African American. According to Holmes, the disproportionate number of blacks being charged is a direct result of economic inequalities. So, overall in Seattle, blacks are obviously a small minority. But because they commit crimes at such a higher clip than whites, they, you know, make sense, have a disproportionate amount, a percentage of arrests. But it's not their fault that they commit these crimes at a much higher clip than whites. You know, it's a result of economic inequalities, or so says the city. You know, yes, they commit the crimes and they get caught, but it's they're only committing the crimes because of discrimination or impoverishment or whatever. Racial minorities are more likely to be poor than whites and unable to pay their fines, Holmes says, adding that it's a waste of city resources to prosecute them. If we start to learn and understand that one of those institutional causes of racism is actually in the criminal justice system, it's our obligation as prosecutors to address it. So, you know, there you have it. I called that even before I got down to that part of the article. I knew it was going to be racism. I mean, minorities can't be held accountable for their own actions, God forbid. So it's, you know, institutional racism is what causes them to commit crimes. And you'd better believe, though, that this won't stop at Seattle. The general principle that non-whites aren't to be held to the same standard as whites and are to be given all kinds of special privileges is standard operating procedure in every other area of life. So why wouldn't we expect it to be SOP for law enforcement? It's an outrage to treat non-white royalty like common white trash. Only a fool would think that it's some kind of anomaly and that Seattle will soon come to its senses and start treating the races equally, which is what we advocate here on the Political Cesspool. Best man for the job gets the job. Equal rights under law, but special privileges for no one. You should not be able to commit crimes, you know, from petty crimes to felonies with impunity because people say, liberals say, you're a victim of racism. If you commit a crime, that's on you, fella. I'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away, the Political Cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of tonight's broadcast. I was talking just a moment ago before the break about how a new city-sanctioned policy in Seattle, Washington, now states that minorities, non-whites, if you will, shouldn't be arrested for minor crimes because they're the victims of institutionalized racism, whatever that means. And as I said, this isn't going to stop in Seattle. The general principle that blacks and other minorities aren't to be held to the same standard as whites and are to be given all kinds of special privileges is something that, if present trends continue to prevail, is going to have to be accepted unless we get out there and advance our ideas in a way that can be effective. Only a fool would think that this, as I was saying, is some kind of an anomaly and that Seattle will soon come to its senses and start treating the races equally. On the contrary, this glaring double standard will, in the not-too-distant future, be the prevailing standard in most communities. So you can either get used to it or start speaking out against it. And if you thought that was heinous, I know those of you in the Council of Conservative Citizens chat room this evening are already aware of the story because it's posted to the CFCC website. But we were talking earlier about the situation of Fort Worth, where the black reverend was leading a protest and threatening federal, calling for a federal investigation because of a drug dealer got shot after trying to run over a cop. Well, and believe this story also comes from Texas. Yes, Cleveland, Texas, a small town. An 11-year-old Hispanic girl was offered a ride by some black men, and instead of taking her home, she was taken to two locations. The men called their friends, and they took turns raping this girl. The gang rape was filmed by multiple video cameras. Videos and pictures of the gang rape were passed around at several black high schools and middle schools in this small town. The video was even found being distributed at the middle school attended by the victim. Now, police in this case have identified 18 people in the videos and have arrested 17 of them. Those arrested range in age from 14 to 26. Now, police are saying that there may be as many as 10 more perpetrators in the video. So if that was too much information for you to comprehend, let me just say again that police know for sure that at least 18 black males, possibly as high as 28, participated, and these black males ranging in age from 14 to 26 participated in a gang rape of an 11-year-old Hispanic girl in Texas. What happened next obviously has ripped apart this small community along racial lines. Blacks began defending the accused, just like we saw in Fort Worth with the shooting of the drug dealer there. Blacks are now defending the men, the 18 to 28 men who raped this 11-year-old girl. They are telling reporters, members of the Black Panthers are telling reporters that the 11-year-old was a willing participant and therefore no crime was committed. The Black Panther Party held a rally blaming the arrests on what? Fill in the blank. See if you can fill in the blank. Racism. Racism caused 30, possibly up to 30 black males to rape an 11-year-old girl. Racism did that. The New York Times is even covering this story. And you can read it for yourself by visiting cfcc.org, where our online chat is going on right now, cfcc.org. A terrible story. Certainly, we feel for the victim there. The crew there at the Council of Conservative Citizens also has video. Video there giving you more information. A pretty extensive article there covering this story. But, again, you just look back at the last three stories that I've covered, the situation in Fort Worth with the drug dealer that was shot after trying to run over the police officer, the situation in Seattle where you can't, you know, go after black criminals because of racism, and now racism caused 30 black men to gang rape an 11-year-old. So when are we going to say enough's enough? You know, when are we going to defang the accusation, the false accusation of racism, and hold people accountable for their actions? You know, that's what we want here on the political cesspool. And because we want that, we also get labeled racist. But, you know, the word doesn't have any effect over me, as I wrote in my book. You know, racism is just anything a white person does, a white conservative does, that liberals don't like. And a racist is just simply a white person. It's just a derogatory word for a white person now. And that's all the word racist is. But we've had a good show tonight. I hate to end it on such pitiful and painful and horrible stories. But I think sometimes you just gotta give people the raw news and let them think about it, let them digest it. Because this is what's going on out there, and you will see many more manifestations of this sort of savagery, unless we get a handle on our discourse, unless we go out there and say, listen, you know, these shut up words aren't going to work anymore. It wasn't racism that caused you to go out there and rape this girl. It wasn't racism that caused you to go out there and deal drugs. Racism shouldn't give you a free pass to commit crimes. You know, we've got to be man enough to go out there. That's not asking for too much, people, to go out there and lay it on the line like that. I do it on a nationally syndicated radio program every week. You can do it within your own circle of friends, I promise you. But so just think about that. Share those stories with people, and hopefully just, you know, the sheer heinous nature of these stories might make people think. I mean, sometimes it takes something that horrific to get people to think about it. That notwithstanding, it has been a good show tonight. We do ask once again that people keep Winston Smith in their prayers, and hopefully by next week we'll have some good news pertaining to his situation. I want to thank Keith Alexander again for coming on the show tonight and giving us his expert opinion, analysis, and commentary on a couple of hard-hitting stories. Richard Spencer, an exquisite guest, our good friend from AlternativeRight.com and NPITV.com, was with me for the bulk of the second hour as we talked about my recent interview with CNN, my recent interview for NPITV.com, and the reaction that these interviews are getting from the hysterical left. As I said, Kleenex must be making a killing this week from all of the crying that the radical left has been doing over the fact that CNN dare let a paleoconservative have a forum. Peter Scoop Stanton, one of our correspondents, actually did some pretty good research. I'd never heard of David Pakman. Go watch this video at thepoliticalcesspool.org. He's one of the liberal nerds that has been trashing me this week. Richard Spencer and I talked about it, but we should probably post this to our website. Pete Scoop Stanton got a good handle on who this Pac-Man character is, saying that he doesn't have the mainstream exposure that I've had. He's not been on CNN multiple times, not been mentioned by Newsweek and Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann and all these newspapers of record that have covered our show so extensively. I actually also did an interview for the major newspaper in Toledo, Ohio, a couple of days ago. Had to turn down a few interviews this week. Didn't have time to get to them. But Scoop Stanton said there's also another difference about Pac-Man's show His guest list features people like Mark Potok and Barney Frank, whereas the Political Cesspool features Pat Buchanan, Ted Nugent, Paul Craig Roberts, and so on and so forth. So pretty good stuff there by Scoop. Know thy enemy, know thyself. 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories, as Sun Tzu once said. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you again for your support. I want to remind you that if you are a member of our snail mail list, that means you are a prior contributor to the Political Cesspool radio program. And if you are, you just received a letter in the mail from me last week. Ask you to consider responding to that letter in kind. And, of course, your support keeps us on the air. On behalf of my team here in Memphis and in Utah, I'm James Edwards. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.